Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's PropSwap.com, promo code SGP. And next, we're also brought to you by PicksWise. PicksWise is the number one app for free sports betting picks, props, and parlays. Download the free PicksWise app now to make your next bet better. And next, we're also brought to you by OddsCrowd. Are you the best football bettor in the United States? OddsCrowd challenges you to prove it with their free-to-play fantasy betting contest. OddsCrowd gives away hundreds of dollars in weekly contests, including the $100 SGPN exclusive free roll contest, which of course you can only find on OddsCrowd. And speaking of things you can only find the SGPN app in the Google Play Store or the Apple Store, so make sure you download that as soon as possible because it is your home for all of our free picks and podcasts and news. Get it right in the palm of your hand. That's the SGPN app.
Howdy-ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Episode 74, I'll dedicate it to 1974 because apparently that's the greatest year ever to be born in. I wouldn't know myself, haha, someone told me that. So yeah, 1974 is who this, who, I guess, what, the year? I guess it's not a who, but 1974 is who this episode's going out to, I guess it's a who. Who am I, you may ask? I am Jeff Fox, your host, and I'm doing a fantastic job doing this introduction for this awesome podcast. You may know me from sportsgamblingpodcast.com, obviously. Also, I run the MMA website, MMA-manifesto.com. If I sound a little rough, I'm just getting over a cold. But luckily, my associate co-host doesn't let me speak very much anyhow, so I should be able to make it through the episode with no issues at all. As soon as I introduce him, he'll have a bunch of things to talk about, like his plus 155 underdog that he hit last night. So who would that person be that I'm speaking of, that associate host of mine? It would be, I think we're calling him right now, the prettiest purple belt around, the man that was raised by bears in the woods, wild woods of New England. It would be Daniel Gumby, Barney Gumble of Vreeland.
You know, it's wild that we're going with, and I granted, it was definitely the line when we talked about it, plus 155. But Nate Maness closed at a $180. He consistently, yeah, the line kept moving. Like, money was coming in like crazy on Tony Gravely. And,
Thanks to me and my articles, obviously.
And so they were stupidly following you, and they could have just been following me and just took the money that way.
And it's pronounced manus, as in anus. it really is. That's what Brendan, whoever was doing it last night. Yeah,
Brendan Fitzgerald.
Yeah, like, okay, I'm gonna have to remember that. It reminds me with anus, which works out well because I do not like him now because he made me lose to you.
Well, shout out first of all to Brendan Fitzgerald because he recently followed me on Twitter. So I'm apparently big time now. But yeah, also that's good to know because you definitely will never forget somebody whose name rhymes with a piece of the anatomy because that's pretty much right in your wheelhouse and probably the only way you'll say people's names correctly.
It's not just a piece. It's a funny piece of the anatomy. One of the funniest you could say, possibly.
I'd say probably the funniest, especially when you give it that name.
So is Brendan Fitzgerald, who's your most famous follow on Twitter, Dan?
Oh, I don't know. I think I'm followed, if I remember correctly, by the guy from Cash Cab, Ben Bailey, the comedian.
you think that's more famous?
Then Brendan Fitzgerald, probably. Yeah, I guess. A lot of people watch Cash Cab. Do you have Cash Cab in Canada?
No. I've heard of it, I think.
It was kind of a big deal around here. I'm trying to think of who else. Dan Hardy follows me on Twitter. I guess he's more famous than Brendan Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
And then, like, probably a dozen fighters that I've interviewed, but I can't remember which ones do and which ones don't. So we'll go with Dan Hardy. Dan Hardy's a good one.
Chuck D follows me from Public Enemy. What do you think of that?
Really?
Yes.
Come on.
Amazing, right?
Is he a big MMA guy or is he a big basketball guy?
Probably was basketball, I'm guessing, but I think he follows like 100 million people, so I don't feel too special about it. But yeah, we, other than the anus pick, and we did all right last night, I guess. Like, I think we can say our hot streaks. Our heat is still alive. There's a caveat there. We both lost a little bit of money. Dan a little bit less than I did. Because of the aforementioned Nate the Anus Manus, but we were both went 8-5, so I think we can safely say that the heater's alive. We'll just forget about the money aspect.
Yeah, I would say so. 8-5 is a good night.
62%.
It would have felt a lot better at 9-4 in that main event, looking even a shred differently than it did.
We'll get into all that obviously, but break down where we whiffed on things, but yeah. So that means I'm sure most people tune in for me to do math on air, which I do almost every week. So let's see how Dan's been doing the past few weeks. We'll do some on-air math like usual. 15-7, 23-11, 31-15, 41-18, Dan.
I'll allow it.
You'll allow that?
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's very good. And what am I? Not as good. I am 7-6, 14-11, 23-14, 31-15, 39-20. So I'm almost there. So we're on a heater still, folks. We're still on. Dan's blazing hot, like 70% almost. It's crazy. But like I said, we did lose a bit of money. Let's actually get into breaking down that event because we have a jam-packed episode. I know sometimes I say that as a joke, but we actually do. We're going to break down all of Smith versus Spann, maybe talk about the key happenings at Bellator because there was the most Yoel Romero moment of all time. A classic, like, couldn't be more Yoel Romero event happened last night, so we've got to talk about that. And then we'll have to give you our picks for the Contender Series coming up on Tuesday. So Sundays are not just going to be a recap show. It's going to be a recap and a betting guide show. So you got to like that. But first, WynnBET, of course, our sponsors. Are you ready to win money and boost your odds? WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement to Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports from NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, whatever that is, WNBA, college football, and more. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. For boosted parlays to live in-game odds in every major sport, we have what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer, risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning. Hang on, I'm going to cough off mic. The kid goes back to school. He immediately gets a cold. My wife gets a cold, and now I have the cold. So you know what that means, Dan?
I mean, what does that mean beyond having a cold? Or
it means masks don't work. Stop the lockdowns. That's what you're on board for that, right? No more masks, no more lockdowns, right?
I don't mind the masks. They have amped them back up in Massachusetts currently, and they – I'll just put it this way. They don't bother me. So
no, they don't bother me either. But it just shows how gross kids are. Like, he wears a mask to school all day, and yet he still somehow gets a cold, brings a cold home. It just shows, like...
Yeah, that's pretty par for the course. Kids are pretty gross.
Yes. Kids are gross. That could be a good name for this episode, Dan. I'm going to write that down in my little notes here, kids.
I thought this was already going to be the anus episode. Like, it's not going to be that.
I don't know. I don't want to get us flagged or anything. We'll have to see. all right, Smith versus Spann. We went 8-5. It was... We had to do all the work and break down 15 fights, and then we ended up only getting 14 fights, and only 13 of them actually had a decisive winner to it. So we lost. Who do we lose? We lost a couple of new people, right? It was supposed to be Jim Miller, Nicholas Mota, and then Miller got that COVID thing, so Cameron Van Camp came in, and then one of them got hurt. Which one got hurt? Do you know? One of them got hurt, and they pulled out.
Van Camp okay. Pulled
out. Yep. So basically, everybody. Hashtag fears Nicholas Mota, basically. He had two people back out on him.
I would say no. although I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I saw that he had beaten somebody who did fight on that show back on the regional circuit, but I can't remember anymore. So,
and then
maybe people are scared of him.
Maybe. Dan, I'm sure, isn't, because Dan's not scared of Bartosz Klawiński. So, and then we had a fight go to a draw. Thank God for the no-nonsense referee Keith Peterson taking the point away from Haley Alatang. So we ended up not losing any money on picking Gustavo Lopez to beat him. That ended up being a draw after Alatang lost a point for repeatedly grabbing the fence, but he pretty much was outclassing Lopez most of that fight.
Yeah, I agree. I will say the cage grab was warned like 7 times. And
yeah,
that's very annoying. Yeah,
and
in addition to it being warned, like, 7 times, then, like, the grab was so gratuitous that it, like, literally could have changed the complexion of the fight, because Gustavo Lopez is pretty skilled on the mat. So, you know, hey, like, good for him for actually calling it, because, like, legit, that could have changed the fight, and so he made it change the fight.
Yeah, But it's wild how many times you can cheat. I know I've gone through this before, but you can cheat so many times with nothing happening. Like, why doesn't everyone just cheat? Like, you know you're not allowed to eye poke, you're not allowed to hit in the crotch, you're not allowed to grab, like, all these rules are told to you before, but yet you get warned, and then you may get a stern warning. Ooh, a stern warning, and then...
The Herb Dean final warning? Yeah. The Herb Dean final warning is the funniest thing in sports, because it's like... Herb Dean's final warning means you're about to get 3 or 4 more warnings.
Exactly. All right, so not to jump ahead, but that's why we only ended up with 13 results, because one fight fell off and then we had a draw. So main event, we whiffed on. Boy, did we whiff on it. Anthony Smith, not only did he mess up our pick of Ryan Spann, but he's messing up the narrative here. He's not supposed to be good anymore. He's not, like, right? He's not supposed to be, like, he's supposed to be a gatekeeper, but instead, like, he's taken it to heart and he's, like, padlocked the gate and no one's getting through it. Like, he is the ultimate gatekeeper. No one is getting through him.
Yeah, it's hard to call him a gatekeeper, though, when he is, like, legitimately a top 5 light heavyweight, right? Like, that is a really high ranking for a dude who is a quote-unquote gatekeeper, right? Like, we think of gatekeepers as, like, I don't know, Demian Maia was a gatekeeper for a while, chilling right around number 9 and 10 in the division, or Andrei Arlovsky was 14 or 15, and he was kind of the guy to let you into the elite class, so to speak. But, like, Anthony Smith, is there anybody in this division who you wouldn't give him a serious chance against? I'm not saying I would pick him. I would pick him to beat, like, you know, Jiří Procházka, or I wouldn't pick him to beat, you know, I don't even think I would pick him to beat Alexander Rajcic in that the rematch that they're for some reason talking about, which is confusing as hell to me. But, like, I don't think I'd pick him in either of those, but I would at least give him a decent chance. Like, he's in no way, shape, or form would be a +200 underdog against even the champ, even against Jan Blankovic. I bet you he'd be less than a +200 underdog.
And it's, yeah, listen to this over the last 3 fights. All first round stoppages, submission Devin Clark, TKO Jimmy Crute, submission Ryan Spann. Like, 3 up and coming dudes. He sets them all back with under 5 minutes, or Jimmy Crute, it was right at the 5 minute mark at the end of the round.
Yeah, that one was a weird one too. Yeah. I'm not sure how much credit I'm ready to give him for, like, I mean, granted, he did land the one kick in the perfect spot that does that to your foot and gives Jimmy Crute drop foot, but it's not like one where I'm like, man, he looked dominant. Whereas last night, he legitimately looked very, very dominant against Ryan Spann. And while we, like, whiff on this pick, I think we did give a little bit of credit to the idea that, like, Anthony Smith needs to grapple in that fight, right? Because we didn't think he was going to hang on the feet. He did hang on the feet. We were a little bit wrong about that, but the ground game ultimately
he was rocking him.
Yeah, but the ground game ultimately is where he's been getting most of the things. I mean, that's where he got Devin Clark out of there too. So, who we'll talk about Devin Clark, poor Devin Clark, in a second. But yeah, like impressive performance by him. Brings up a whole bunch of freaking questions about what the hell do you do with a guy like Anthony Smith next, but he's never in a super boring fight except for the one they're trying to rebook right now.
Yeah, I know, it's strange. Alexander Rakic was already like, he already lost him and it was a very, very boring fight, but yeah, he's not even, Anthony Smith's only 33. I'm just looking at his age like, wow, he's only 33, but he's fought 52 times. That's the thing.
That's crazy.
And he's never... And he's always been a journeyman, basically, until, like, he went on that run and got a title shot. And I assumed, okay, that's going to be the end then. That's the end of his nice run. And pretty much it was. He beat Awash Gustafsson after losing to Jones. But then he lost to Glover. He lost to Rakic. So you're thinking, okay, this is the end. But then he's reeled off those three prospect wins that I just mentioned. It's baffling. What to make of Ryan Spann? We were kind of hyping him up, like saying he was 5-1 and stuff. He's still very much a work in progress. Did not look very good last night, that's for sure. And now he's, 5-2, which isn't no shame in that game. But it's not like he's the most skilled, smoothest guy in the cage. But like I said, he's, 30, I think we decided on? I think we decided that's how old he is. And what do you think of his future?
I mean, I think it's still bright. That's 30 is still pretty young for that division. So, man, like I'm not ready to write him off, but I kind of have him right now in that same kind of run as somebody like Jamal Hill, where it seems like he has a bright future. But do you have the faith that he's going to like figure everything out and put it all together and become that elite guy? I don't really, right? So, like, he's got all of the potential. He's got all the physical attributes. He's got certain skills that play up really well, but there's just enough that makes you feel like, yeah, I don't know that this will ever happen for him. Which, like I said, it's kind of how I feel about Jamal Hill. No offense to Jamal Hill. But, it's a little upsetting for Spann, but, I'm sure we'll see him back in there probably against somebody like Jamal Hill.
And he's out of the right camp, right, Dan?
He's always out of the right camp. That's part of why we picked him. And it didn't work out at all.
Nope. Fortis let us down. How about the light heavyweight co-main event? We got this one right. Jan Kudalaba overwhelmed Devin Clark, which is how we predicted it. But we were thinking it would be possibly an early stoppage. But instead, he laid it on him for three rounds. 30-26, 29-26, 29-27. Oh, Smith won via submission rear naked choke, first round, 347, for those keeping track at home. Yeah, this one was a whitewash by Jan Kudalaba. Takeaways from this one are Devin Clark's teeth and Devin Clark's dad.
So apparently Devin Clark – so I just read about this a second ago. Apparently there isn't anything wrong with Devin Clark's teeth.
I like to argue that there is, but go ahead.
So here's the counterpoint to that, because this is just what I heard as well. And again, I have no idea how credible this source is, but somebody said there's nothing wrong with his teeth. It's all the bones in his jaw that are broken that make his teeth look like that.
Beautiful.
So he has – yeah, that is 40 times grosser, I think, that his teeth are fine and they're still shaped like that. So, I got to imagine – it's going to be a while before we see Devin Clark again. We're talking jaw wired shut kind of deal for him, most likely.
Do you have pictures of his teeth on your phone, Dan?
I don't, but I
not
did.
Yet.
I will say I saved one, sent it, but then deleted it because I was like, I just can't. This is even too gross for me.
Wow. Yeah. So if y'all want to see it, you can just Google Devin Clark's teeth. I'm sure. yeah, this pretty much played out like we expected it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Kudalaba, super aggressive, got the job done the way that you would imagine him to. I will say, I am baffled that two judges gave Devin Clark any of those rounds. Like, how?
Yeah, right, yeah.
How did he win a round of that fight? And, yeah, like, pick which one you thought he won?
Well, he didn't die. I guess that's – maybe they give him credit for that.
Yeah, that is a wild choice that he won rounds in that. So I will say, played out like we thought it would. And Kudalaba doing some mauling. He lasted longer than I thought he would, being able to turn up that kind of pressure. So props to him.
That's scary for future opponents if he can keep that pace up.
Yeah, I agree. But again, he's got some holes too. They're the type of holes that Devin Clark is just not the right person to exploit him, right? Like, Devin Clark does a really good job wrestling. That's not Kudalaba's holes. Like, range striking. I mean, like, Kudalaba got outstruck from a distance by Magomed Ankalaev, who is, like, not known as a striker, and he knocked him out twice that way. So, I think Kudalaba is still maybe, like, I wouldn't worry about him and lose sleep about him if I was a top five light heavyweight. But, he still poses a lot of problems for a lot of people.
And everybody's got holes at light heavyweight. So
that's really true.
Has Devin Clark's dad always cornered him? Because I don't remember that insane roar, except for last night's fight.
Sometimes he shouts other things too, but like, yeah, he's always
loud.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why the refs gave one round to Devin Clark. Maybe the dad yelled at them. could have been, because he sounded pretty scary. Let's see if my voice allows me to tell you about PropSwap. We are brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Go and check out the new PropSwap.com, which is packed with fresh features like filtering tickets based on value to find the best odds available, browse the activity feed to stay in the know, loyalty rewards program that turns sales into extra cash, and much more. Use the promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap will match it up to $500. If you love sports betting, you need to be using PropSwap. With PropSwap, your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. It just needs to improve. When making your bets, always make sure to go for two. Make two tickets on the same team or a player so you can sell one for a profit and keep one to leave yourself some skin in the game. Thousands of buyers across the country are shopping for tickets on PropSwap every day. Get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets. We're also brought to you by Keeps. Keeps offers a simple, stress-free way to keep your hair. Convenient virtual doctor consultations and medications delivered straight to your door every 3 months. You don't have to leave your home. Low-cost treatments start at just $10 per month, and Keeps offers generic versions, discreet packaging, and proven results. Keeps has more than 5-star reviews than any of its competitors. Prevention is key. Treatments can take 4 to 6 months to see results, so act fast. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/SGP to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's keeps.com/SGP to get your first month free. One more time, keeps.com/SGP. Shall we move on? What do we got? We got Ariana Lipsky. Let's talk about Ariana Lipsky. As we predicted, beating Mandy Bohm, 30-27.
Yeah, I mean, like, for me, this one was, and I don't mean to be mean about this, too, but if anybody was picking Mandy Bohm in this fight, and I think I said it when I locked in Lipsky as my lock,
yes,
which, by
this
the way,
is Dan's lock. Yes,
yeah,
we both hit our locks.
And yep, she looked real good. I think I said this, anybody who was picking Bohm here was picking her on a basis of, like, the fact that she was a hyped newcomer and fighting somebody who we've seen have holes, but, like, not thinking at all about the stylistic matchup. Because what Mandy Bohm does really well, and she does do it really well, I'm not taking anything away from her, is she strikes from distance and she works in the clinch. That is 100% the fight that Lipsky was going to want here, right? Like, Lipsky doesn't want you to take her down. Lipsky doesn't want to, you know, I guess I'm just very surprised that anybody thought that Bohm was going to beat Lipsky at her own game.
But apparently many people did, because she was only – we got Lipsky for, what, minus 120? I'm not sure if it changed at all close to the fight, but we got her at a good number.
I think they had on the broadcast negative 125, so barely any movement. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Lipsky opened as a much bigger favorite. So, like, I think people were on Bohm on this fight at the start, and then, like, some people realize maybe Lipsky is a better play here. But, like, it's just crazy to me because, like, it was very clearly people wanted the newcomer to be really good and didn't think about the stylistic matchup in this one. And Lipsky was always going to be faster and better in the clinch here.
Yep. And the newcomer was very inexperienced also. So
yeah.
All right. I should mention also Anthony Smith did get a bonus for his submission victory. There was four bonuses. I'll let you know as we hit the others. Here's another one right here. As a matter of fact, Armin Tsarukyan TKO'd Christos Giagos in just over 2 minutes. Armin Tsarukyan is a scary man, and we had him at minus 800, so we made a big 1250 off that.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised he got the finish, though. That hasn't been
nope.
The way he's operated lately. Like, he's gotten decisions out pretty much since he started in the UFC, and it's kind of crazy to see him get a stoppage and to do so dominantly. But this is, like, why people were hyped on him when he came to the UFC, is because he had these types of fights. So to see him finally do it over a quality opponent, because people were talking about Christos Giagos not being a quality opponent. The dude had won 4 out of 5. Like, I feel like that gets slept on a lot when we're talking about Christos Giagos' name. But yeah, Tsarukyan being able to not just put a beating on him, but put it on him and get him out of there quick. Very deserving of the Performance of the Night award. I'm glad they gave him one.
This was basically one of the only meaningful fights of the night, other than, I guess, the main event, kind of. Not really based on who won, though, but since Tsarukyan won, you know, that propels him even higher to the top, which, as they mentioned, will make it even harder for him to find an opponent. Who do you want to match him up with next?
I said I'd really like to see him fight Gregor Gillespie. I think that would be fun stylistically. Yep. Both pretty good wrestlers in there. I think Tsarukyan probably has a little bit of a striking advantage, but I'm not sure that he has, like, you know, with wrestling, I think it's probably pretty close, but I think it would be interesting to see what the submission game looked like for both of them in there, because I think Gillespie might have the advantage there. It'd all be really close for two guys who are probably just barely outside the UFC's top 10, or right at 10. So I think that would probably be a really interesting fight. I'd like to see those two fight. But, like, really, him versus any of those other guys who are just kind of chilling on the edge of the top 15, the Brad Riddells, Rafael Fiziev's, Demir Ismailagulov's, like any of those guys would be fun to see him fight too.
We'll take him fighting anyone, just someone. Maybe, yeah. Actually, it may be easier for him if he gets a better number, as in the ranking number beside his name, then maybe more people will be willing to step up.
I'd actually like to see, so there are some rumors that Dan Hooker may not be able to make it to the fight next week. He's supposedly meeting with the American Embassy right now in New Zealand, and he thinks he can get a flight on Thursday, be there early for Friday, weigh in the same day, and then fight the next day. So he'd be, like, cutting weight on a plane, is my understanding. If for some reason that gets canceled, it would be a great move to just have Arman Sakurian just, like, waiting in the wings to beat the piss out of Nasrat Haqparast. No offense to Nasrat Haqparast, but, like, man, like, what a cool way that would be to, like, bump his stock up, right? Because that's the thing, is if he does something crazy like that, people will want to try to take the shine off that name. Right now, he doesn't have a lot of popularity because he's beating guys named Christos Giagos, which, no offense, but just doesn't carry the same weight as somebody else. But you beat two of those type of guys in, like, 7 days' time, people talk.
This is the no offense episode, I think. Dan's you're trying to backtrack after you badmouth everybody.
Well, I said no offense a couple of times, and you said somebody's name was Anus, so I feel like we level each other out pretty well.
I guess so. Yeah, that's true. That's why this works. All right, this fight I got wrong. It was going well, though. Tony Gravely was piecing up Nate the Anus Manus before getting TKO'd in the second round. Where did I whiff here, Dan, or did you just get lucky on this?
I mean, I think to some extent I got lucky, because when I was rewatching the end of that first round, like, it did look like he 10 more seconds there and Gravely probably finishes that fight. But the other thing I will say is that, like, when I broke this down, I said Gravely is a big, muscly guy, and he fades quickly. As a matter of fact, I even wrote an article about why he would fade quickly. Some of what I said was because he would attempt 20 takedown attempts and probably only get three of them, which he didn't. He actually was a little bit lighter in the takedowns than I thought he would be, and maybe it's because he knew he would fail against Manis, who has quite a good wrestling background. But, like, he's still kind of tired in that second round. Like, even just pouring it on for those 5 to 10 seconds he was trying to finish him at the end of round one seemed to – it didn't completely take the wind out of his sails, but it seemed to take some of the wind out of Tony Gravely's sails, and Manis just cruised in the next round. So I think the only thing you could qualify as a riff or a whiff here is maybe just not recognizing that Manis's cardio and now we know his chin is infinitely better than Tony Gravely's.
And once again, it's Manis as an anus, Dan, not Manis. you keep forgetting
you're gonna milk getting a name right better than me for all it's worth, huh?
It's true. And he got the bonus, Mr. Manis. Got the bonus there. And then to start off the night, the main portion of the night, another bonus winner, Joaquin Buckley, KO'd Antonio Arroyo. We both saw that coming, but it took him 3 rounds to do so.
Yeah, maybe a little surprising on how long it took, but that dude hit so freaking hard. And not just – the thing is, too, is, like, a lot of people were high on him because of the Mpoksangane spinning kick. Then he gets knocked out, and people, like, fluctuate real fast because fans are fickle. But the thing is, like, he has always been a really good boxer. He had, like, a really fun boxing match with Kevin Holland, who notably is only good at striking. So, like Joaquin Buckley, fun guy to watch. Again, I think there's enough holes in his game that we can't be too excited about this performance. I mean, Antonio Arroyo is, what, 0-3 now in the UFC? So,
yep.
Yeah, I mean, like, nice, exciting win. Enjoy your 50K, but it is pretty much what it is.
So we got 4 finishes out of 6 on the main card. Not too shabby at all. All right, we'll zip through the prelims, and we'll move on to our next subject. But first, let me tell you about PicksWise. PicksWise is the number one app for sports betting picks, helmed by a team of trend-watching, data-devouring sports fanatics, giving you the who, how, and why behind every prediction for every game, every day, and every sport. Loaded with best bets, props, and parlays, you can find in-depth analysis on every game, all for free. Found your pick? Search the latest sportsbook promotions to sign up an account, compare the odds, and finally place your bet. Download the free PicksWise app now to make your next bet better. PicksWise backs responsible gambling. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Also, we're brought to you by Prize Picks. Turn your picks into real cash with Prize Picks, my favorite daily fantasy app. It's fast and it's easy, and it all starts with Prize Picks. Simply pick 2 to 5 players and decide if they will go over or under their stat projection. The more players you pick, the more money you can win, up to 10 times your money. Prize Picks is the only way I play. So I'll tell you how the power play option works. $20, you hit three player picks. If you hit all three of them, you win $100. So let's go with, like, Dan. How did your picks go today? Let's see, Dan's baseball picks for Sunday Night Baseball.
Well, they're happening live right now.
It's happening live. I don't think anyone.
I will say I really like Gene Segura tonight for the Phillies.
He's got one hit so far, so usually it's 1.5. You have to get at least 1.5 hits plus walks, so you might be on pace for that one.
So I think he's probably on pace for that one. On the Mets side, I did have a whole bunch of people who don't have hits. I had Michael Conforto, who's got a walk, so we'll go with him with one. And I'm going to say I still have faith in Jeff McNeil. Jeff McNeil's going to give me 2 today. So we'll say if we went the over on Conforto, McNeil, and Gene Segura, tell the ladies and gentlemen what you would get paid if all 3 of those overs hit.
If you want to put $20 in the line, you win 100. How's that for a power play option? It's amazing. Plus, use promo code SGP to receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. So that's Prize Picks, promo code SGP. All right. Prelims. We'll rip through those quickly. I got this one right. Dan got this one wrong. Ha ha. Tefan Nchukwi is still big and muscly, but he has cardio now too. And he decisioned Mike Rodriguez over. He actually skunked him on the board 3 rounds to none.
Yeah, I think this was an oversight on my part in realizing how much better this dude looks at light heavyweight. For the love of God, never let this bastard go back to middleweight. If any coach who tells that guy going back to middleweight's a good idea is wrong. I will say, though, I was pretty confident that Mike Rodriguez wouldn't get knocked out. That's why I thought he was going to outpoint Tafon.
Yeah.
But with that being said, like, it's always important to note that, like, going up a weight class sometimes fixes a lot of those cardio issues, and it 100% did here for Tafon. He looks like the prospect people kind of thought he was. So that's exciting, I guess.
And normally when guys go up in weight and they have success, they immediately talk about going back down in weight.
So. Yeah, right.
Hopefully that's not the case here. We got this one wrong. Penny Kayanzad got bored to death and lost 29-28 to Raquel Pennington. It played out the way you said it would, with Pennington clinching up against the cage, but Kayanzad did not do enough in... Actually, the whole fight was that. There wasn't enough other portions of the fight for her to win it in the judges' eyes.
Yeah, it was always going to be, could Penny Kayanzad stay at distance long enough to win enough of those moments that the moment she was squished against the cage wouldn't matter? And she did for one round, It was a close one. But, ultimately, you know, Raquel Pennington, it's weird that everybody had kind of written her off as, like, she's gone. But, like, look at her last few fights. She's got a win over Penny Kayanzad, Marion Renault, and Irene Aldana. And she's, you know, those are three wins in her last four. In between all there's a loss to Holly Holm. And before that, her two back-to-back losses were losses to Jermaine Durandamy and Amanda Nunes. So, like, she's only fighting the best women in this division. And anybody who isn't numbers one, two, or three, she's dispatching. And I mean, if you want to peel it back one more than that, she's got to win over Misha Tate before Misha retired. But, yeah. Like, she's had a really decent run right now. And like I said, she only loses to the absolute elite ones in this division.
Would you say she's a gatekeeper then, perhaps?
She's probably the right one for that. But then again, most of bantamweight is just gatekeepers. Holly Holm is going to get a title shot again soon, and it's mostly just because she's such a good gatekeeper that, like, they just keep having to give her title shots. Jermaine Durandamy is not all that far from being exactly that as well.
Doesn't fight ever.
Yeah, she fights less often than Holly Holm. She's not willing to take a fight every couple minutes. And so, like, Penny Kianza or Raquel Pennington, rather, is, like, she kind of fits in that mold of those women of just being kind of the women who are going to keep turning these young, more fun contenders away. That's what she did here to Penny.
Yep. Speaking of young up-and-comer, Zhu Rong, first he cheated and missed weight, but then he also beat last-minute Whirling Dervish replacement Brandon Jenkins. Jenkins does spin a lot, like you said.
Yeah.
I was going to count his spins, and I just, like, I can't keep up. So he was spinning a lot. He's got this is also a night of ugly tattoos, even more than usual in a sport with a lot of ugly tattoos. There was a lot of interesting tattoos. Regardless, Zhu Rong looked pretty good. He TKO'd Jenkins with, 25 seconds left.
Yeah, he felt in this fight a lot like everybody thought he was going to feel in his debut, where he wound up not looking so good. So it's really good to see that maybe that was just ring rust or something like that, or octagon jitters or whatever you want to call them today. It's probably good that it was one of those things, because it's nice to have a young prospect also from, you know, a place that doesn't have very many young prospects in China. So, I'm excited to see him fight again because, it was pretty much nonstop action between those two.
Yep. Montel Jackson beat back a very game JP Bays, 3-0. Bays moved up to bantamweight for this fight. Hopefully he doesn't get cut because he took a short notice and up a weight class. But, yeah, Jackson looked good. Bays looked... I guess he didn't really look good. He got rocked a lot. He's game, though, and he's tough.
I was impressed in the grappling exchanges in the first.
Yeah.
I think if you're going to say that JP Bays did or did not look good, you have to point to that first round and be like, that dude fought up a weight class versus a guy who probably shouldn't be a bantamweight, right? Like, Montel Jackson is a big-ass bantamweight. So it was like watching a featherweight fight a flyweight, and not only did he survived in there for the whole fight. But also when he was doing that, he had his moments in the grappling exchanges early on. So props to him for that. And yeah, I 100% agree. I hope they give him at least one more down at flyweight, because I think he deserves it.
8-inch reach really came through for Jackson. He was lighting him up with jabs, and He knocked him out four times, I think. I think he broke the record, they said, for bantamweight knockdowns in a fight. So it shows how good Jackson's striking is. It also shows how tough Bayes is, because that means he got up each of those times the fight was not stopped. Erin Blanchfield, wow, what a debut for her in women's flyweight over Sarah Alper, 30-25, 30-25, 30-26. And she, despite being a jiu-jitsu prodigy, her striking was on point. She, like, lit Alper up, and Alper's got one of those faces that really damages easily, and boy, she whooped her in this fight.
She landed 170 strikes in a 15-minute fight. That is a really, truly insane number. And yeah, like you said, her striking looked good. You got to feel good about her striking, but I have to say the grappling looked superb. 30-25, 30-25 scorecards are not something you see very often, but they were well-deserved. I actually saw a couple of media scores on MMA decisions. I can't remember if it was more than one, but there's one guy in particular I'm thinking of who had it 30-24, and I think it's defensible. Like, 30-24 would have been a fine scorecard, too. 30-26 is almost a joke. Like, she really beat her better than that. Props are at 22 years old, clearly ironing out the striking portions of her game. You got to imagine this is a top 5 to a top 10 woman in the next 2 or 3 years, right?
Yeah, hopefully they don't rush her too much. We're talking like another shallow talent pool here, women's flyweight. And they don't always seem to make good matchmaking decisions when it comes to women's fighters. So watch, she'll be fighting some top-ranked 25-year-old fighter next instead of like taking on some people on their way down.
Yeah, like they'll give her like Alexa Grasso or,
yes, exactly,
or Montana De La Rosa.
Yep.
You know, and actually, you know what? I'm going to withdraw that last criticism because, like, this is going to sound terrible because we've talked about how Miranda Maverick was complaining that the matchmaking's terrible, and it's clearly that, like, they're just matching up the young women, and there's, like, a weird middle ground of, like, kind of older women, the Roxanne Modafari, Jessica Ibe, Vivian Arroyo class that's just chilling in the middle. But I'll say this. Would you not really enjoy watching Erin Blanchfield, Montana De La Rosa? That style match was so good. Like, I would watch that today. Sadly, they will match her up with somebody exactly like that. And I'm excited to see whoever they put her with, though.
Shockingly, that was the first fight we got right on the night. Things did not start off too well for us. Oh, that was my lock pick, by the way. So we both hit our locks. For locks, I'm 14 and 9. Dan's 11 and 12 now. Both down money in the lock department. Yeah, we did not do so hot on the first few fights. Carlson Harris, TKO at Impa Kasanganang in 2.5 minutes. Thoughts on that one? Harris looked good.
I would just say I actually think technically from a striking standpoint, if you're like breaking down what he was doing, cutting angles and how he was trying to throw those punches and things like that. I don't think he's technically better than Impa Kasangane in the striking department, but he does hit really fucking hard. So while we like weren't on his striking and we were like, oh, Carlson Harris, mostly a grappler, he's going to need this on the mat. He does seem to have like a good enough punch at welterweight to have like a puncher's chance on the feet. So even if he doesn't get it to his realm, he's still really good, or still has a chance against even guys like Impa Kasangane. So he's worth keeping an eye on, I think, for that reason alone, is that it's like he's really good in this one facet, but like the other facet's not polished, but still like sharp enough or heavy enough to like get him by.
So how do we whiff on this one? We didn't whiff at many, but how do we get this one wrong?
I think this one is mostly, like, I trusted the technique of Impa Kasangane to keep him safe. Because, like, if you look back at his other fights, Impa Kasangane doesn't put himself in a position to be hit. You know, like, he'd been finished one time in his whole life, and it was a spinning mule kick from Joaquin Buckley up a weight class from where he is now. So, like, how much can you say that that's his fault? Like, nobody has ever thrown or landed that kick in an MMA fight. So, yeah, like, I just had a lot of faith to keep himself safe, mostly from the submissions. And also, I didn't think Harris had the you know, way of cutting off the cage or the angles to really light up Impa, but, like, he's reckless enough that he was able to, and I think that paid off for him. So I would say not a bad read necessarily, but just, like, maybe underestimating a little bit of how hard Carlston Harris hits.
Yep, that's true. And then we already talked about Lopez Alatang. We would have whiffed on that one if it wasn't for no-nonsense Keith Peterson. And then we whiffed on the opener, women's flyweight. Hannah Goldie submitted Emily Whitmire, which I guess we kind of could have predicted since that's the only way Whitmire loses. What are your thoughts on where do we go wrong here, Dan? It just took her 4 minutes, 17 seconds to win this fight.
I mean, I just thought that Hannah Goldie didn't have the subs off of her back in order to do it, and I was wrong. Emily Whitmire is going to be the one grappling on the top. She's going to have the dominant position all the time. She's going to be the one working harder in those departments, and she was all those things, and it just fucking didn't matter. So
there you go.
Yeah, shout out for Hannah Goldie getting probably a career-saving submission. But I mean, like, you can't leave that fight feeling good about Hannah Goldie. Like, even if you bet on Hannah Goldie there and you're like, ha-ha, my pick landed, you can't feel good about watching what she did.
So you shouldn't enjoy your plus money is what you're saying?
I mean, you should always enjoy money. I'm a, the firm believer of that. Like, regardless of how you got it, you should love money. But I would say I would not be running out to dump money on Hannah Goldie no matter who they match her with next.
Yeah, no, that's true. So that puts a bow on it. A pretty fun night of fights. So we both went 8-5. Like I said, on the year, I'm at 57%, inching closer to that 60% rate. Dan is at 54. He's lost $500 less than I have, though. So he's got that.
Look at that. Look at the money lead there.
The money lead. No kidding. You know, another good way to save your money, Dan, using Mint Mobile is a good way to save your money. After years of fine print contracts and being ripped off by big wireless providers, if we learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I first heard that Mint Mobile offers premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month, I thought, what's the catch? But after speaking with them and using their service, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they're the first company to sell wireless service online only. By cutting out retail stores, there's no crazy overhead costs that get passed down to you in the form of mystery fees. Instead, Mint just passes on sweet savings direct to you. For people looking for extra savings, Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with all your existing contacts. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee. Switch to Mint Mobile and get premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/sportsgp. That's mintmobile.com/sportsgp. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/sportsgp. We are also brought to you by Odds Crowd. Are you the best football bettor in the U.S.? The folks at Odds Crowd are challenging you to prove it this football season with their epic free-to-play fantasy betting contest. Each week of the season, there is a $350 NFL contest and a $250 contest. Boys here at SGPN are all taking part, so you can try to claim bragging rights over us, too. Here's how it works. Once you enter a contest, you track your bets against real odds and lines, much like you would with any pick tracking app. Most profitable players rise up to the leaderboard. If you have the highest profit at the end of the contest, you win. And Odds Crowd isn't just a fantasy betting contest. It's a social app for sports bettors, free to download. You can live group chat with other bettors, track your bets, set up private fantasy contests with your buddies, and much more. So download the app for free or go to oddscrowd.com today. And if we're talking about downloading apps, make sure you download our app, the SGPN app. We're live in the App Store and Google Play Store. Make sure you download it. Give us an app review. When you're on the app, you'll see you get notifications for when pods drop. You get easy access to all our picks, all our podcasts, all our different offers from sportsbooks, everything you need. So make sure you get the SGPN app today. Should we quickly talk Bellator? Did you get a chance to see any of the Bellator nonsense last night? It's always nonsense with Bellator.
I caught replays and Twitter highlights, but I didn't watch anything live.
No, I didn't either. I watched the main event, but I watched it on – we get it for free up here on YouTube because they don't have a TV deal here because Bellator is minor league, so I just watched it on YouTube after the fact. But That is this is the most on-brand Yoel Romero thing ever.
Just not knowing how many rounds he signed up for.
he does nothing in the fight, which is totally Yoel Romero style.
He was
going to
do something in the fourth and fifth.
Yeah.
Like, didn't come and then, back. He was going to go for it.
And then when the fight's over, he's mad that it's not two more rounds. Oh, man.
Like he doesn't know that he's not in the UFC anymore.
And right at the starting of the third round, the ref says, third and final round, are you ready? And he says yes. Like, is that believable or what? Did his corner not know too? Like, doesn't he fight at American Top Team or somewhere reputable like that? Doesn't he? Or maybe not. Maybe not Top Team.
I don't remember where he trains. What a just a glorious thing though. It's like everything.
Yeah,
it's everything you want out of like a. That light heavyweight Grand Prix, which granted both of these guys have fallen out of it, is like in such weird shambles and like very hilariously weird shambles. Because like they maybe wanted Yoel Romero in the finals, and now we're talking about there's a title fight between Nemkov and Julius Angelikis in the semifinals, who wasn't even in the tournament. It's just so perfect.
Yes, because serial domestic abuser Anthony Rumble Johnson has some mysterious illness. So
yeah, he seems to be pretty sick. But domestic abuser, but you should also mention credit card fraud as well.
He was
found during his last fight to have committed credit card fraud.
He is, all around good fellow. This is so Bellator, everything we're saying here. But that was like, that was such a Romero thing. That's just like, him sitting on the stool for too long against Tim Kennedy. It's the whole no gay Jesus debacle where everyone thought he said no gay Jesus. You remember that one?
Yeah.
They thought he said no gay Jesus.
No gay Jesus.
And it's always something with that guy. I love him though. I love watching him fight, but I don't know why.
Love watching him fight. Yeah. I'm going to differ with you on that piece, but.
Except when he does something, it's spectacular. But he doesn't do anything.
His fights with Robert Whittaker. Are gold. They're like a lot of fun to watch. His fight with Israel Adesanya made us realize that he maybe doesn't do all that much unless somebody like Robert Whittaker forces him to. What a treat.
And fighting Phil Davis is not the guy who's going to make you do anything.
No.
Another perfect MMA thing. Someone gave Romero the fight. One of the judges gave him the fight. It was clearly 3-0 for Davis. Yet one of the judges gave 2-1 for Romero, which is another perfect MMA thing. But I guess when you're both in there doing nothing, that's a very thin margin. You're like, if both fighters are barely doing anything in the cage, then you're really, if you're Phil Davis, you're really running the risk of something like that happening, you losing a decision.
He was doing a lot more than the nothing that we were seeing out of Yoel Romero. Like, a lot more.
Yeah.
I get your point. Like, he should do more if he doesn't want that kind of shit. But, like, he also doesn't deserve that. He won that fight.
Yes, he clearly won it. So, any thoughts on anything else worth mentioning last night?
No. Absolutely.
Good. It's so Bellator. All right. Let's do some Dana White Contender Series, which is where the real money is being made, with the folks in the Slack. Everyone is having SGPN Slack. Make sure you jump in there if you're not already. We have lots of fun with all different kinds of sports, but on the fights channel on there, people are loving Tuesday nights because everyone is making a killing off the Dana White Tuesday Contender Series. I enjoy watching it, and I enjoy winning money on it. So there you go. All right, so we're coming up this Tuesday from the Apex, as per usual, back down to a five-fight card. I actually have stats and stuff this time actually prepared, should have been all along. So, yeah. Let's bang through this and see if Dan can get us more winners. You were, 5-1 last week, were you not?
5-1 with one just like amazing long shot underdog that I missed on.
Right.
I'm cutting myself slack on.
Yeah, you hedged on that beforehand by making sure you picked both people in that fight.
Yeah, I just like the odds. I like the +300. I thought he had a better chance than that. But that being said, still 5-1, regardless of whether or not I did double dip there, I still think that's a good night.
hey, this is a gambling show. We give you the gambling pick, and sometimes it's not the same as who we think is going to win the fight. So if, I know it doesn't make sense, but I guess to you degenerates out there, it makes sense. So, all right, we're going to start off with lightweights. Jacob Rosales, Victor Martinez. Rosales is Lil Badger, so maybe he's a rapper part-time. Lil Badger, L-I-L.
It's Lil Badger?
It's Lil, yes, not Little Lil.
Lil Badger, all right.
Lil Badger. Any Badgers up where you live, Dan?
I don't think I grew up with any Badgers. No Badgers, okay. Or Wolverines. Sometimes
that's
a weasel.
More of a Wisconsin thing.
Yeah,
Wolverines are a Michigan thing.
Yeah, we get weasels mostly larger game. We get moose.
Minutemen?
Yeah, Minutemen
too, right?
Yeah, although my college, we were the Bison.
Pretty sure you don't have any of those.
We don't have any of those, but that's what we went with. So, yeah.
All right, so we got Lil Badger. He's going up against the Brick, Victor the Brick Martinez. I'll give you a – do you know stuff about both these guys before I do a breakdown?
I do know. Also, he goes by Vic, which is why that nickname is
Vic
better.
Vic the Brick, yeah.
Vic the Brick Martinez is way better. Victor the Brick Martinez is not fun.
No. How about Victor the Brictor? That would be better. Victor the Brictor Martinez.
I don't know. That would not
If be you good. Interview him sometime, can you mention that?
I will offer it up as a possibility.
Okay, great. We'll break down him first. He's 12-4 with 8 knockouts. He's won 6 straight fights. 2 straight via TKO, but he's not fought since December of 2019. Do you know why, Dan?
I don't. Nope, not off the top of my head.
Who knows? With the pandemic and stuff, who knows? Plus 135 is the comeback on him. The Lil Badger is 13-6 with 5 knockouts, 2 submissions. He won his last fight. So he's on a 1-fight winning streak. He also was on the Contender Series before where he lost. Do you remember who he lost to?
He lost to Jonathan Pierce, who actually fights this upcoming weekend.
There you go. He was 3. He's been 3-0 in Bellator, which is pretty impressive, even though it's kind of hit and miss with the matchmaking there. 3 inches taller, 4 years younger, minus 150. All right, break her down.
I actually like Vic the Brick Martinez in this one. The plus 135 underdog. We're kicking off with an underdog right away. Mostly because if you watch these guys, both of them just kind of let loose on the feet. They're not afraid of eating a punch to take one or to give one back out. Neither of them like going to the ground, really. They just really want to just stand in the pocket and throw haymakers, which is probably why the UFC was smart enough to book them together. The difference is Vic can just kind of take a punch. He's, pretty damn good at taking a punch. Rosales got knocked out by Jonathan Pierce, who notoriously is kind of a grappler. So I don't know how much I trust his chin. I also think if you look at a lot of Vic's knockouts, I think he hits harder than Rosales does in the first place. So we got one with kind of a questionable chin, one with harder hands, and you're going to put him in basically a rock and sock robot match. So I'm always going to take the guy with the more knockout power in there and not the guy who's got the more questionable chin.
A smaller cage, too. Maybe not. Is the Apex cage, what are cage sizes in the regional scene? Do you know that?
I mean, they're all different. There are some that are really, truly tiny, even smaller than the Apex cage. I would say this, though. For these two, the size of the cage won't matter because nobody's taking a step back anyway. That matters if you're going to be the advancing guy who's trying to cut the cage off or if you're the guy who wants to wrestle and the other guy wants to strike from distance. These guys both want to stand 4 feet apart from each other and just wing them. Nobody's going anywhere. So I think ultimately the cage probably won't come into play in here. But, yes, you're right. It is the smaller cage.
All right. So, I'll definitely got to go with Victor the Brictor with 8 knockouts and 12 wins. That's very impressive, plus 2 straight TKOs. So, all right, plus money there, folks. A lot of times, though, people tell me on Slack after we drop this, the odds that we told them are no longer the odds anymore. They seem to change very quickly on fights, on these fights. Flyweights. So basically what I'm saying is make sure you subscribe to MMA Gambling Podcast feed so you get these podcasts immediately instead of having to wait for it to go out on SGPN's feed. So there you go. Flyweight, Santo Curatolo versus Clayton. I assume it's Rodriguez. I assume he's Brazilian and it's not Rodriguez and it's Rodriguez.
But
a name like Clayton.
But isn't Gregory Rodriguez?
Yeah, it's true.
And he's Brazilian.
He is.
So I'm going to go with Rodriguez because I've never heard of
Rodriguez. Rodriguez sounds so much better, though, dude.
I've never heard of Rodriguez, though.
All right, fine. You have now. I just said it. All right. Curatolo, no nickname. Rodriguez nickname is his initials. KR, boo to both of them. You know both these guys or not?
I do, yes.
All right. Curatolo, 6-1 with 5 knockouts, 1 submission. So everything's a finish for this man. He got a knockout win his last fight. He's at plus 110. Rodriguez, you can call him KR if you like. He's 6-1 with 4 knockouts, 1 submission. Never been finished in a fight. He's won 5 straight fights. His last win was way back in October 2019, though, a sub win. He's 3 inches taller, minus 120 coming back on him. I don't have reach discrepancies for any of these fighters because that info isn't available for enough of them. So I'm just telling you heights and ages at this point. So who you got in this one, Mr. Gumbo Vreeland?
I think I like Rodriguez in this one.
First Rodriguez.
Of all, I'm not going to say Rodriguez. I was not going to take Rodriguez in this fight initially because Curatolo, for those who don't know, is a short notice replacement. Originally this was supposed to be a guy named Jake Hadley, which for those of you who don't know, he goes by the nickname White Kong, so he 100% would have won the nickname battle. But he is.
That's such an American name, too. Jake Hadley.
He's British.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Jake Hadley from Birmingham, England.
He wrong was with my stereotypes.
He was the Cage Warriors flyweight champion, was supposed to be in this one. Couldn't get a visa, had to drop out. He would have demolished Clinton Rodriguez, I think. But instead, I'm going to pick Clinton Rodriguez here, mostly because. While he hasn't fought for a while due to injuries in the pandemic and stuff, he's going to fight this guy who's kind of like a Greco-Roman wrestler. And when you think about Greco-Roman in MMA, it's like not double legs, it's all clinch takedowns and stuff like that. He's fighting a guy who's like a very dynamic, diverse striker with tons of knockout power. And I don't know, I don't think that he's going to be able to get in on body lock takedowns without eating an ass ton of punches and getting knocked out. So... worth noting here, Curatolo has recently been knocked out too. He was knocked out. He's only on a 1-fight winning streak right now, I believe.
Yeah.
And he was knocked out in late 2020. He's very capable of being knocked out, and he's going to be up against a guy who punches really freaking hard and with all kinds of crazy like kicks to the body and legs and stuff like that. I expect Rodriguez to just kind of put on a striking clinic.
What's with all the knockouts for flyweights? It's wild. Both guys, 5 out of 6 for Curatolo and 4 out of 6 for Rodriguez.
Yeah, they're like real deal knockouts too. At least for I haven't seen a lot of Curatolo's, not a lot of film out there on him, but the Rodriguez ones are like they're like real deal knockouts. They're not like TKOs from ground and pound with the guy just like belly down and we're gonna call it a TKO and he was really still conscious. He like separates people out from their consciousness and. He's a lot of fun to watch. I would say if there's a match here to circle for a guy you certainly don't want to miss just like throwing punches, it's probably watching Rodriguez.
moving on. That would be amazing if they do say Rodriguez when it comes to fight.
I fully expect a bunch of tweets aimed at me.
All right, featherweight, Steven Nguyen versus Theo It's R and then an L. How do you pronounce R and an L?
I believe it's Relang, but Relang. I would also just quickly mention to you that you also messed up the easier of the two last names,
Nguyen.
Which is it's Stephen Wynn. You say that last name Wynn,
I know that.
Like W-I-N.
Like winbet.com?
Yeah, like Winbet, our sponsor. It's Stephen Winbet.
You know both these guys?
Stephen Wynn is a guy who is on the Contender Series already, so I know him from that, and guess where he trains?
Fortis MMA?
Yeah, he's a Fortis MMA guy.
Nice. And he's the ninja, and Relang is the jungle king. He's also the underdog here. He's 5-0 with 3 knockouts, 1 submission. He won via submission his last fight. He's a year younger. He usually fights at lightweight. This one will be down at featherweight. He's at plus 190. As for Ninja Man, he's 7-1 with 3 knockouts, 3 submissions. He won via KO his last fight. His lone loss was on the Contender Series. Who did he lose to?
Alon Cruz.
Okay, yes. And what else can I tell you? He's 4 inches taller, minus 200. I'm guessing you're going with Wynn.
I am going with Wynn. I will say this. I mentioned the loss to Alon Cruz. Alon Cruz hasn't even really fared all that well in the UFC, but I actually thought Wynn was probably around a piece against Cruz at that time. When Cruz landed this like funky flying knee that landed and knocked Wynn out. You know, like I thought Wynn might actually be winning, and it was a super exciting fight. So I don't put too much stock in that. And he's fighting a guy who Theo Riolang is like, he throws a whole bunch of leg and body kicks, but he seems to just kind of throw one of them and not too much else. And just I think just like the naked body kick all the time is probably going to get caught by Wynn, probably even tripped by Wynn. Riolang has some submission wins, but like not really against opponents who have decent submission defense. So I don't particularly think he's a really great threat on the ground either. You know, like all of his opponents are like 3-11 or 5-7, and like Wynn's fought some like legit dudes. So I kind of expect Wynn here to just be the more polished, better striker and just go in there and do what he needs to do to pick up a win.
Wynn will win.
I'm picking Wynn to win.
And then we'll say Wynn won.
Wynn won, and you may have won on Wynn using Wynn Bet.
There you go, WYNNBet.com, promo code SGP, I'm assuming. Welterweights, Michael Morales versus Nikolay Veritenkov.
Nailed that one, by the way. Yeah, Veritenkov is, yeah, it looks easy, but like sometimes when there's too many syllables, you still botch
it. Let's go to the underdog first. Morales, 11-0. 9 knockouts, 1 submission, 8 straight finishes, 10 years younger, yet despite all that, he's the plus 190 dog here. Veritenkov, 9-3 with 7 knockouts, 8 straight wins, TKO win in his last fight, which was against UFC vet Anthony Ivey. He's an inch taller, minus 210.
I'm going to pretty easily here take Veritenkov. I think he's a pretty safe play because not only did he recently knock out Anthony Ivey with some knees to the body and some follow-up punches, but he also beat Steve Jones, who I think probably and not a lot of people have heard the name Steve Jones, but earlier this year he fought in LFA against Steve the Average Jones, who had a crazy good run in LFA and this other promotion that I had watched a bunch of called AKA, which is also sometimes known as Rite of Passage. He's a really fun striker and really tough. And Veritenkov had kind of no problems with him, which was sort of shocking. He's on a great run. He also beat Charlie Ontiveros with knees to the body during that run, who then also became a UFC fighter. He was 1-3 to kick off his career, and he finds himself now at 9-3. The thing about him, too, that I really like is that, you know, Morales throws really wide, kind of rangy punches and, like, just kind of wings it. And he's going to get returned on him just, like, perfect 1-2s right down the pipe. Everything Veritenkov throws is super straight. And if Morales keeps coming forward at, like, a crazy rate, he'll wind up in the clinch, and Veritenkov has incredible judo throws, which you don't see too much anymore, but he uses like a lot of like hip toss judo throws. I don't know the technical name for judo throws. I know they all have Japanese names that I certainly can't say or remember, but he uses a whole bunch of hip throws from like a judo style that give him a whole lot of time in top control. And I think a lot of time in top control against Morales is probably going to be enough here for him to win this fight.
There you go. Dan said it's an easy, safe pick. So put all your money down on it, folks. All of your savings, your kids' education money, your mortgage if you have to. Put it all down on that on this pick. Right, Dan?
Maybe not all of it.
Save a little bit? Okay, fine. Middleweight main event, Hashim Arkhagaga. Both his names are Hashim, should be Hashim. And yeah, regardless, that's who's fighting. He's fighting AJ Dobson, whose nickname is AJ. I can't remember what's his first name. Do you remember or not?
No idea. Yeah, no idea.
Something starts with an A. And he's fighting against Arkhaga is Kavaka. I don't know what that means in English. So we'll just move on.
The A stands for Athlone.
Oh, Athlone Dobson, of course. Like who I should have guessed that immediately. That's what my son, who is sometimes called AJ, his first name is Athlone also, obviously. All right, Athlone is 5-0 with 1 no contest, 3 knockouts, 1 submission. He's won 2 straight fights via finish. 3 years younger, plus 120. Arkhaga is 6-0 with 4 knockouts, 2 submissions. Everything's a finish with this guy. 3 straight knockouts. He last fought a year ago, September 2020. He's at minus 130. Are these guys worthy of the main event slot here?
I actually don't think so. I will say this. This is one of the weaker episodes of the Contender Series we've seen so far. There's been a lot of episodes where you're like, ooh, that's a guy, right? Like, that's a dude who's going to do some damage. I mean, like, last week we talked about it with Jelton Jr. I think he's a legitimate top 15 light heavyweight without having him seen a single UFC fight so far.
Does he have a fight booked already, too?
He does already have a fight booked with somebody who I saw he was probably going to murder, too. I'll get you the precise name in just a moment. and the other guy from last week has actually two more of the guys. The flyweight with the quick knees, CJ Vergara, and the Russian guy whose name I'm never going to remember.
Abar Durov?
Oh, yeah, and he's got a fight booked with the Italian guy, Alessio De Chirico. It looks like Jelton Jr. is going to be fighting Danilo Marquez, fresh off of his win over he just beat Mike Rodriguez. Oh, no, he beat Mike Rodriguez, but then lost to Kennedy Zichuku. He's fighting a decent guy, too. So I would say these guys, not at that level. The thing about these guys is that, like, they both feel kind of like Mo Miller did in that they're, like, young in their career and clearly have some flaws. The biggest flaw of the two for me, though, is Arcaga seems like he just puts so much energy into everything he does early in the fight, and he looks absolutely exhausted. I watched one of his fights all the way through. He picked up a knockout, like, 4.5 minutes in or something like that. 2.5 minutes in, he was notably tired. Like, notably tired, like, mouth open, hands down kind of tired. And for me, when you pair that against a guy like Dobson, who does a really good job of turning up the pressure, he's also not afraid to throw it, but he's got a great cardio base. I don't see a huge bunch differentiating between the two. But you take a guy who's tires pretty easily, you put him in the highest profile fight of his life and the biggest stage of his life, I kind of imagine he's going to hit an adrenaline dump here. Dobson is just going to take over like 2 minutes into this fight, and it's going to be all Dobson. And the fact that you can get Dobson at plus money, for me, is good enough to really sway the end of that.
We got two dogs, so we're starting in bookend dogs here, the opener and the main event. Any props, parlays, anything like that you want to do?
I don't think so. I was trying to think of whether or not I really like a finish on any of these guys, and I would just say I don't. Again, this is not one of those ones where I feel like I have a really big, good feeling about anyone. I guess if I was going to put a prop in, the fight between Jacob Rosales and Victor Martinez, I would say just doesn't go to decision. Like that, and I don't think I'd even feel great about just picking Victor Martinez by knockout. Like, I'm picking him straight up, but I wouldn't want to put that extra caveat on. So I would take that fight doesn't go to decision. But apart from that, I'm probably staying away from a lot of this because there's just not a lot of guys I feel passionate about on this week. Next week, on the other hand, we get to week five. Oh, we're going to be talking about week five.
Oh, look out. So is there a fighter to watch this week that people should watch?
I mean, I think Rodriguez is just the one to watch just because of for pure entertainment value. But
and see how they pronounce his name.
And to see whether or not they say Rodriguez.
Obviously. You definitely are going to want to watch next weekend because we have the massive UFC 266 coming up, which will be the topic of our next podcast on Wednesday. Wednesday night, we will recap where Dan went right, and hopefully he didn't go wrong with any of those picks he just gave you for the Contender Series. And we'll break down the massive UFC 266. This is one of the best cards you're probably ever gonna see, or at least recently. You got two title fights: Volkanovski versus Ortega for the featherweight belt, Shevchenko versus Dan's favorite Lauren Murphy for the flyweight, women's flyweight. Then we got Nick Diaz's return against Robbie Lawler. Rematch, 17 years in the making or something like that, isn't it? Yeah, 17 years. Wild. Curtis Blades, Jarzinho Rosenstrike, Jessica Andrade, Cynthia Calvillo. That's a pretty amazing main card. And then there's amazing fights in the prelims, too. So this is quite the stat card that they're getting in the T-Mobile Arena on Saturday night.
Yeah, it's for sure going to be a good one. There's going to be no boring fights.
Is is it going to be, have you made any of your picks yet? Is it going to be an easy one? I haven't done any research yet. Is it going to be easy for us to pick these fights, you think, or not?
So I think my standard is I just fly through and see how many people I would just pick. Like, I already know I'm going to pick.
Yeah.
And then, like, then I leave blank a whole bunch that I'm going to have to, you know, like, watch a little bit of film before I make a pick or, you know, stuff like that. But there was, I would say, I want to say there were 8 or 9 who I, like, had a pick for right away, and then there were a whole bunch that I had to think about. So that leaves me with, like, 4 or 5 that I really have to think about.
How often does the line change? Does the line ever change your pick?
Not typically with the ones that I think of ahead of time. If I pick ones ahead of time where I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, like, you know, I'll tip my hand here. I'm taking Matthew Semelisberger next week against Martin Sanou. Martin Sanou, notoriously, he's 4-2-1 in his career. He's making his UFC debut. He's coming off of a draw. And before that, the 2 losses on his career. He won his first 4 fights. The last time Martin Sanou had won a fight was in 2014 at Legacy Fighting 30, which organization doesn't exist anymore. It combined to make LFA along with whatever the other promotion was that did it. And RFA, it was RFA. RFA combined with Legacy. So it's an organization that doesn't exist anymore. In 2014 was the last time he won. And somehow he got a UFC contract, which is pretty obvious.
Why? He's not a late replacement, is he?
He's not a late replacement. Do you want to know the really sad reason?
Go ahead.
He trains at the Nick Diaz Academy.
Oh, right. Speaking of Nick Diaz, he's got a win more recently than Nick Diaz does. Nick Diaz hasn't won in 10 years, I think.
Is it? So he hasn't won since
Fought in like 7, and he hasn't won in like 10.
He hasn't won since he beat BJ Penn, right?
Yeah. Nick Maximov is another Nick Diaz trainee. Okay.
Yeah, but he's a legit one. He was on Contender Series and won on Contender Series up 2 weight classes on, like, 3 days' notice.
Oh,
So he's a legit prospect. But clearly, Nick was able to get a couple of his buddies on the card. And so, like, I automatically picked Matthew Semelisberger, who I like in the first place. I could look tomorrow and see the line is -1,000, and it's still not going to change that pick.
Okay.
I find that it's a nice line, it makes me feel extra good about it. But there ain't any line that would make me turn that pick around. So the ones I pick straight up, and I know even before really digging into, the line can't really shake me on those.
There you go. We better not give you any more of our picks, or you won't have to listen to us Wednesday. So we're going to save the rest of it till then. In the meantime, read all our stuff on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. We're going to start rolling out our NBA team previews starting tomorrow. A different team every day up to starting the season, which means the season's only 30 days away. We've got NFL stuff on there, obviously, every day, because NFL is what drives the ship. MMA, Dan will have a write-up on all of the Contender Series fights. Will be posted bright and early Monday morning or whenever I wake up and post it. What else can I tell you? And if you just want MMA-specific stuff, go to MMA-manifesto.com to read both of our stuff and enter our Pick'em contest, which will be going up on Monday as well. And follow us on Twitter, Jeff Fox Writer. He's Gumby Vreeland. I guess that's all I really have to tell you to do. Anything else I should tell him to do, Dan, or is that enough?
No, you captured it all.
Right, take us home. You haven't taken us home for a while, I don't think.
I'm Damon Gumby Vreeland. He is Juicy Jeff Fox, and we will catch you on Wednesday.